Hello, Evergreen and online friends. Thank you for joining us today. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and all those who serve as dads for someone in your life, out of all sorts of roles. You know, dads and those standing in as dads, we need you. Our kids need you. And we appreciate you. You make our world better. You know, if there's a dad or someone acting as a dad with you this morning, take a moment. Give him a high five, a hug, or just put your hands together for him. Come on down. Yeah. So think with me about the last 2 weeks and what God has been speaking to us about. Bo Stern Brady reminded us who our audience of significance is with her phrase, eyes up here. Then Jared talked to us about choosing who is going to be number one in our life, God or money. And reminded us that there's no dual citizenship in God's kingdom. The words of Jesus that follow those that Jared shared last week begin in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And Jesus is going to continue the conversation as he talks with us about what it means to live out our choice to prioritize God above all else. So I have a confession to make, friends. The past 6 months have tested my worry quotient. I've always kind of thought, you know, that I'm not really the worry wart kind. I'm optimistic and all of that. But guess what? The last 6 months, I found that that worry quotient was growing. What did I worry about, you ask? You, first of all. Yes, this wonderful community of people we call Evergreen, whether you're online or in person, people that we love and care about and have a responsibility for before God. What kinds of things was I worried about? Well, I was thinking about your relationship with Jesus and how is that faring during this time of COVID, where we've been apart for so long and then trying to re-engage. And how are those of you who, because of your own conditions and health and age, are still in isolation from others? And what about your engagement with the Church of Jesus and your sense of mission? Because we've always been a church on a mission. We know that we're here to help lots of people find and follow Jesus. And how's that been impacted by COVID? Well, I've also worried about, as in Jared and I's, personal financial security as we look at the state of affairs politically and economically and wonder what that will do to what we've saved. Sometimes I worry about the continued polarity in our culture, in our ongoing conversations about things that really do matter, and our inability to listen and share with one another, knowing that we are loved even when we disagree at points. Man, I wish we would all get that. I've mulled over the unintended but real impact of COVID on our individualism that was already rampant in our culture and in our lives too. And how has that been affected our decision making and our willingness to be of service to others when it requires sacrifice or discomfort? And apparently, friends, I'm not alone in my worries. You see, during the pandemic, about 4 in 10 adults in the U.S. have reported symptoms of anxiety, up from 1 in 10 adults who reported these same symptoms in the 6 months before the pandemic began. What that tells us is more people are worrying. A study done in 2018 revealed that we spend an average of 1 hour and 50 minutes a day worrying, which equals 12 hours and 53 minutes a week, or 4 years and 11 months across the average adult lifetime. You know, a recent study done in the UK revealed that people even lose sleep with worrying, typically losing 4 hours and 40 minutes of sleep each week. That's the equivalent of a lost night's sleep every 12 days. What all the studies agree on is that lots of people worry. And it's often about things that we have no control over. It's like Jesus has read our minds, listened in at our meetups or coffees with friends, and read our social media posts. Let's read his words for us in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about the clothes you wear? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When Jesus is speaking these words, we remember that he's on a hillside above the Sea of Galilee, and there's grasses and wildflowers that would have been growing, and they're vibrant colors visible for the crowd to see. You see, Jesus was a master at using the things that were familiar or even right in front of the crowd he was speaking to help them understand what he's trying to say. This crowd was also familiar with suffering and the struggles of daily life. Much of their routines were spent trying to get enough supplies for their day-to-day existence. On top of that, they were living in an occupying Roman government that was in charge in their homeland. There would have been moms in the crowd and dads in the crowd, kids and cousins and servants and grandmas and grandpas and tradespeople and craftsmen and fishermen and religious leaders hanging out with Jesus that day. You know, when we've made our decision about who is our priority, God or money, Jesus turns our attention to trusting him, the one who provides, who sustains, who is faithful, who is sufficient, who loves us, who'll never leave us, and the ultimate authority in heaven and on earth. Do not worry about your life. Those were Jesus' first words, and he repeated them for us. The Greek word for worry is merimol, and means to be anxious, to allow our minds to dwell on difficulty or troubles, to be distracted with. And the King James translates this, do not worry, as take no thought. Literally, don't give your thoughts to worrying about your life. Jesus is telling us not to worry. But why? Well, first of all, he tells us worry is a waste of our time. It's incapable of producing any useful result. That is, it's pointless. It doesn't solve anything. I like what humorist Irma Bombeck said. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. Doesn't that kind of describe it well? And Jesus agrees with her. Our worries about even our basic needs like food and clothing do not do anything to alleviate those needs. Our Heavenly Father has this covered. He told the crowd, look around you. See what a great job your Heavenly Father has done taking care of the birds and clothing the wild flowers. Even the grass, which is short-lived and will be used as fuel shortly, is taken care of. You matter more to him than anything else in creation. Our worries, on the other hand, can't even add an hour to our life. It's not just that worry does not accomplish anything. It's actually counterproductive. That's right, friends. It robs us of fully engaging in the present and can shorten our life. Jesus said that worry gives power to our fear. The Swedish proverb says it well. Worry often gives a small thing, that little small thought, a big shadow in our life. What begins as a small trickle of fear, that thought in our mind, begins to grow until there's no room to think about anything else. And this makes it harder for us to sleep, easier to overeat. Did you know that the average weight gain during COVID was 29 pounds? Now, I guess we won't blame that entirely on worry, but some of it undoubtedly was. It also increased substance abuse. Alcohol consumption skyrocketed during COVID. And it makes any chronic health problems we may have worse. But friends, we can flatten the fear curve in our life. when we can talk to God about our fears rather than giving that small thought a big shadow by worrying about it, by running with it. So don't worry about it, pray about it. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Because worry can rob us also of the moment we're in by distracting us with thoughts about the future that may not even happen. The what ifs of life, the I hope so's of life. We can miss the good things God has for us now because of the distraction of our worries. So I just want to illustrate this with a story that happened to Jared and I. We were in the Grand Canyon visiting when a tour bus filled with guests from another country all headed to the beautiful falls and canyon that we were going to be viewing. They crowded onto the viewing area en masse and, much to our surprise, began taking selfies, some just using the length of their arms and some using long selfie sticks. It was a group of like 30 people, and we waited our turn fascinated and watched to see if they would ever set their phones aside or in their pockets and just look out at the awesome, inspiring views right in front of them. But they didn't. They never did. They were only going to see it in the background of their own faces in a photo at some point in the future. That's what we do when we worry. We miss the moment we're in because we're distracted by something we want, hope for, or worried about in our future. In this case, the photo they were hoping for. You see, worry is a waste of time and counterproductive. But Jesus also said that worry is not just a response to our circumstances. It's actually our response to God. You see, worry provides us a window into our souls. When we do even a quick inventory of what we are worrying about or what we've been worried about in a given day, we can see what gets our attention instead of God. It can show us what or who we are living for. Am I focused on what's temporary, all the stuff that Jared talked about last week? Or what is eternal, loving God and loving people in Jesus' big kingdom? Worry reflects our level of trust in God. How we respond to troubles reflects how we view God and whether we trust how He's acted toward us or is acting toward us. And Jesus makes the case that our worry stems from not believing that God is acting for our good. This is why He says to that crowd, "You of little faith," on that day even, pointing out that this is how people who don't know God, the pagans or Gentiles, is what the crowds would have heard, that He was talking to live. Author Tim Keller said it so well, "Worry is not believing that God will get it right." Jesus cares about the things that keep us up or wake us up at night. Jesus follows this Sermon on the Mount, which comes in chapters 5, 6, pretty soon we're going to cover 7, but He follows this sermon in Matthew chapter 8 by jumping into action and intervening in people's lives who had real troubles, reinforcing for us that He cares, that He has the power, and that He wants to intervene in our troubles. We can trust Him instead of worrying. So let's review just a few things He did in Matthew 8 alone, and we could go through the rest of the book and find many more. Jesus heals a leper. Leprosy at that time was a terminal, contagious illness that made you a social outcast, even with those you loved. He went on then to heal a dying servant for a Roman soldier without even stepping foot in the guy's house. Then He went and healed the physical discomfort and fever of Peter's mother-in-law. And from there, He launched into preaching with people and delivering people who were spiritually oppressed. And it says He did all that with just a word. Then He delivered two violent, demon-possessed men who were completely cut off from others and who had instilled fear in anyone else who had experienced that violent behavior. You see, Jesus has the power to intervene in our troubles in all sorts of ways. And all of these people lacked the power to control the outcome of their situation. But Jesus does not lack the power or the love to act on our behalf and in our interests. Why am I so certain of that? Why can you be so certain of that? Because of what God has already done for us. He sent His only Son from heaven to earth to give his life to pay the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven and restored in our relationship with God and experience eternal life with him that starts the moment we embrace him and engage with him. Romans 8:32 says this, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Tonight, I'm going to a friend's home for a prayer vigil. He is a husband and dad with two little girls and has been in a five-year battle with cancer, going through all sorts of surgeries, chemo, and other kinds of treatments. This week, he's been in excruciating pain, hospitalized twice with it, because he has a tumor that's pressing on his spine. He came to Christ 2 years ago in the middle of this ordeal. And tonight, we'll gather, we'll anoint him with oil, and we'll pray over him because we know that our good, good Father loves him and is powerfully able to help. We can trust him with our friend's cancer outcome. God lives up to his word. His promise to us and prescription for us is this: don't worry. Instead, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, the answer to worry is to make his kingdom and his reign our top priority, and then he takes care of our needs. So how do I do that? I take those worries that come to mind and I redirect them to God. I bring them to him. I let him show me what he wants to do. You know, it's not unlike these wonderful foam fingers that we hold up when our team is playing and they're ranked number one. And we say, "You're number one, you're number one." And we go crazy and wild for them. Well, all that God's really inviting us to do is to remember who's number one in our lives and to make sure that's God. Paul talks about this in Philippians 4:6 when he tells us to don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will fill your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we want to do. Lori Dickerson, our church planner and missionary in Uganda, sent me an email 2 weeks ago and let me know that there was going to be a 42-day shutdown due to COVID numbers rising in their country. And it started June 7th. Now, in this letter, knowing that this was facing her, she was just days away from it, she wrote these things of what her response was. So they have a bakery, Sweet Aromas, in which they employ native Ugandans and have trained them. And it's really a discipleship tool, a place to help people find and follow Jesus. And she said, "We continue to ask the Lord how to increase the business, especially during these more difficult moments, these more difficult times. One idea," she said, "that Gerald had and has implemented was making yeast bread. We make both loaves and buns, and they are selling well." Do you notice that, friends? That was a God idea that they implemented. "There are two things I believe the Lord is asking us to help with in the near future," she writes. "Partnering with a school here in Fort Portal to pay their teachers' salaries while they're out of work in the next month and a half." And she said, I think there are about 20 teachers and the total will be around $2,000 to pay all of them for 1.5 months. And she said, "The second thing we can do to help is to help the 25 plus taxi drivers that sit out in front of our bakery with the food that they need, because their income is going to be severely cut because nobody can leave the county during this shutdown since they can only drive within the district," which is their word for county. Well, friends, I want you to know something. We got to send $1,000 to her for that. But what struck me was her prayer. She said, "Thank you for praying for these things." What do you think was at the top of her list? Number one, that we can display the love of God to each person we help. Number two, encouragement in the Lord for all of us at New Life Church, the church plant, while we can't meet together. Number three, physical health in the midst of this new outbreak. And number four, finances to be able to help the teachers and the taxi drivers. We got to be a part of that answer to prayer. But what I want you to notice with me is I don't hear worry in her words. She's not distracted with trying to control her situation. She's bringing her situation to God, who wants to do something for them in this time and wants her and us to trust him in that. So trust is my word for 2021. And this wonderful promise from Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, with this picture that I took at Zion National Park. And I'm going to let you look at that as I read these words to you. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's a powerful promise when we trust in God. But sometimes I need help to redirect my thoughts from worry to God, to start the conversation. I find that worship can really help with that. And I found myself in the last week and a half singing some songs over simple choruses. You know, the kind of stuff you can sing in the car, whether you've got an MP3 playing or anything like that. And these are the songs I sang over my kids as they were growing up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And this one from Salty. Oh yeah, you got it. I'm going to sing it for you. God's on his throne, no need to worry. God's on his throne, so I can rest. God's on his throne, and I can trust him. Almighty King, God's on his throne. And all through the day, all through the night, rest in his promises, walk in his light. Darkness shall flee at his command. All through the day and night, we're in his hands. What about you, friends? What have you been worried about? What do you need to bring to God today? Take a moment and do that wherever you find yourself in this moment. Let's start the conversation, and then we'll be back together for a moment. I'd love to pray with you. I'm so glad that you had that starter conversation with God. If you're like me, I have to have a lot of those through time because worried thoughts pop up at the most inopportune moments, and we want to bring them to God. So would you join me in praying? Jesus, thank you that you can and will help us this week to redirect our thoughts when we find ourselves worrying, Lord, that we'd realize that's a waste of our time and doesn't express the confidence that we have in you. And Lord, we just help us to turn our thoughts towards you and to ask you for your help and to turn over the things that worry us and place them in your hands where they already are. We just haven't been walking in that. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to trust you in big ways this week and walking with worry-free minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, it's been so good to be with you today. We hope that you'll just take a moment, post a little something. What did God speak to you? What did he help you with today? And may you have a worry-free week filled with trusting Jesus. See you soon.